Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot, with Drupal workshops coming up in Portland, Oregon, and Providence, Rhode Island. For more information, go to lullabot.com/training.
My name is Boris Mann. My current day job is Boot Up Labs. So this is my first time here at a DrupalCon where I don't have Drupal as my day job. One of the things I've been involved in the past with a lot of stuff around install profiles, which I still feel strongly about, but someone else gave that presentation this year, which is great, and I got to move on, and I decided that something that I could do is put in a proposal for a community track to talk about what I call practical semantic web. Semantic web has been in the domain of, as I say, propeller heads and academics and saying, yeah, this is the way it's going to go and evolve, and all we need to do is get people to manually put extra tags around everything and do extra stuff everywhere and also understand really hard concepts. So I wanted to start saying that there's a lot of stuff out there that just does this automatically, and we get benefits from it today, and that when you're building a site, you can potentially use some of these things and they just work, right? We don't think about, for a very long time, we haven't thought about creating RSS feeds with Drupal because they're just there. You know, there's a front page one, you can make additional ones, you know, you create taxonomy terms, and RSS feeds are just there. And they have all sorts of benefits that we don't even recognize until after the fact. You go, oh, wait, we can take that thing that's tagged with Drupal and we can stick it in this planet and we can have this giant aggregated discussion community around people talking about Drupal, and all we did was tag stuff with Drupal at the one end. So semantic web is an evolution of that. RDF in particular is called a resource description framework. Really, it's a spec that makes assertions about things, and already I'm going into propeller head land. So the classic example is when you do a search for Apple, the search engine doesn't know if you're searching for Apple the fruit, Apple the computer company, or Apple the Apple Records, which I think just settled a suit with Apple the computer company. And so in RDF, what you can encode in regular web pages is you can say when you put in Apple, you can around that wrap that in a tag that says I'm going to link this to the Apple that I mean. And so the phrase that I came up with in putting my presentation together was visually to folks reading it, the human layer, it's just a regular link or it's a regular term or it's a regular tag and it's all just there and it's part of the regular presentation. But underneath there are links that explain the semantics behind the data, behind the terms. And that's what I call food for robots. RDF is food for robots. It helps us explain the meaning of these words of natural language that we're speaking to machines that they can then, in an automated way, do interesting things. If I talk about Apple the fruit, then the machine can see that I actually do mean Apple the fruit, and it can pull up, for instance, Flickr pictures that are of apples. Because there's the extra bit in that the tags in Flickr aren't yet semantic, so we may get Apple computers as well. I'm encouraging people, there's a bunch of RDF and there's a bunch of semantic web that's available today in Drupal. One of Dries' visions, and it's one that I share, is that Drupal, starting with Drupal 7, can have a lot of the semantic data out of the box, like I said earlier with RSS. It can be marked up, it's great for building sites for humans today, and now it can be great food for robots right out of the box, so we can really supercharge the amount of linked data. Linkeddata.org is another site to check out around this that's out there, and have all these Drupal sites that connect and federate and share data between each other out of the box, so that we really are taking this next step of evolving the web. And that's what I've come to believe is the mission of Drupal, this multi-headed beast of community. We all have clients and wants and needs. At the end of the day, what Drupal wants is it wants to evolve the web, to be a participant in the evolution of the web, and also be at the forefront of saying, if we can get hundreds of thousands of sites out there that take that next leap, there's going to be a pressure for the rest of the web to evolve along with that. So that's my long-winded say of saying, semantic web, RDF, let's get it into Drupal 7, experiment with today, and let's see what we can make happen.
another thing that Tim Berners-Lee talks about, the global graph, going from the World Wide Web to the global graph. And Dries, in his keynote, talked about we should think of the Internet as one big machine. Can you talk about what does that mean?
Well, that's exactly it, right? Is by providing food for robots on a site-by-site basis, we allow all of these sites to self-organize and connect to each other and know that they mean the same thing. And so that this loosely coupled that before we've had to take data and say, we'll aggregate it over here and we'll manually plug it in, is that those connection points can happen automatically. And that graph is formed by doing nothing more than linking between sites, which currently is the domain of only things like Google or stuff like that, but that we can actually follow and surf those links and create that graph from site to site today with the built-in functionality starting with Drupal 7.
And so another thing is that people talk about the Internet as a database, and there's a lot of pages out on the Internet, billions and billions of pages, and there's going to be huge scaling issues when you start to think of databases that big. So can you talk a bit about what this Sparkle is and how are they going to deal with this sort of scalability?
Sure. Well actually, in many ways, that's exactly what Sparkle was designed for. Sparkle is to RDF as SQL is to databases. As I was talking about earlier, what we've had to do up until now is we've had to aggregate data, put it all in one place so we could run SQL queries onto it. And very large data sets all in one place are just hard to do. You've got, as you said, database scalability issues. So with Sparkle, what you do is it gives you a way to join and filter data across multiple websites, and you're doing that in a distributed fashion, and at each layer you're only getting back the data that your query is requesting, and that load is distributed among all of the data sets that it's reaching out to. So it's actually much more scalable than any single point database.
Okay, and another thing that I've heard of is this Exhibit. What is Exhibit and what does that give you?
Exhibit is a visualization toolkit from the folks at MIT, part of the Simile project. And essentially, it knows, because the data is semantic and it knows how to consume that machine data, it knows how to display and visualize certain data doing nothing more than dumping sources of semantic data on top of it. So think of it as a little widget which you can connect up to a data source, and it'll say, bing, okay, here's the table view of this. And maybe you've got some geodata in there, so it'll say, okay, flip over to the map view of this. You've told me that this is map data. I know that it's connected to an individual record. So therefore, without having to do any coding, you can dump this data and I can visualize it in different ways, whether it's a table, a map, or a timeline. And so that gets us more, again, into this display layer. Without having to do any coding, we can immediately start visualizing data and exploring it. And as I was talking earlier to some of the journalists in the press center, was so great. We've done that step that used to take days, now can be minutes, so that people can very quickly visualize different data sets looking for the story that's contained within it, and then can build that storytelling. So again, we're just making these things much, much, much easier.
Okay, in terms of Drupal's role in all of this, it seems like without Drupal, you just have a big, you know, maybe title and a body field, and you're just dumping lots of stuff. And to think about even trying to do RDF, it'd be a lot of labor-intensive process to just put in all these RDF tags. Talk a bit about how is this going to work with Drupal? Is it going to be CCK fields? And then on the theme layer, it's going to inject all these RDF tags, and just talk a bit about that.
So absolutely. I mean, many people despaired that that we wouldn't get a large amount of semantic web data out there for a very long time, but really surfing on the same web of blogging and Drupal and other easy-to-use CMSs, all of them, not just restricted to Drupal, it's clear that people can easily create content on the web, so check, right? We've got at the very least a title and a body, which is not particularly interesting for starters, but we do have that, and lots of other systems will also have automatic plugins that will kind of RDFize that. Drupal, again, is kind of taking the lead in that we've got the CCK thing where you can build custom content types and fields, and in Drupal 6 today, you've got RDF CCK, and that same module provided the template for a patch to core for fields in core. So in Drupal 7, we already will be exposing RDF data by default. There's some determination of exactly what that will be, but that's the sort of next challenge for us to figure out. So how will it work? Well, just like we automatically spit out various auto-generated CSS and other things like that, we'll have default RDF that comes out, and it'll just be there. So just like RSS, just like the CSS labels and other things that are there, it'll be in Drupal's. Drupal is a push templating system. Other systems use templates where you actually have to put a tag or a code in to make sure that it pulls it from the database. And Drupal has always worked by default. It pushes all the data through. So someone who just deploys a site that has RDF, CCK, or Drupal 7 enabled will automatically put out the default RDF, and then we'll have the opportunity at the theming or other hook alter layers to modify it. Although really, I think a lot of that will actually even happen at the GUI. We want to have these default stuff, and it just works because we like providing food for robots.
And talk a bit about the companies that are here at DrupalCon that are sort of basing a lot of their business around the semantic web and RDF, and talk a bit about who they are and what they're doing.
Okay, so I think this is still in some ways a new thing. You know, I called my session Practical Semantic Web because I wanted to make it clear to people that, again, it was coming out of the realms of academia. The main people here are Calais and the Open Calais system from Thomson Reuters. And the main vendor that has been engaging with the Drupal community is called Phase 2 Technologies. And they've got a whole room here. And they've got the Open Calais Lounge where you can come and learn more about it. And they have a very, very powerful top-down system in Open Calais. And they were obviously attracted by Drupal's native capabilities and see that it was being used in areas that they wanted to encourage it. And so they chose to kind of build a lot of that into Drupal. Aside from that, there's Open Band Labs, who are vendors here in the wider DC, Virginia area. And some of that extended team that I've worked with for many years when I was back at Bright, Ivan Labra being another one, who have had these very distributed information needs for which RDF is a really good fit. And they built, in particular, Ardo Bendikin has from scratch built a ton of stuff, the main RDF module, a distributed file system called Bitcache that uses diffs in RDF that starts going off into crazy land where I, like, oh my God, one guy did this. But it's, again, amazing capabilities that are available to Drupal. And those are sort of, you know, from there it kind of goes to individuals. A shout out to Stefan Score. It's easier to talk about Drupal.org usernames. And he's been in university and in Galway and been leading a lot of the concepts. And as I mentioned earlier, got the patch into Drupal 7 core. So those are some of the main players. And just talking about this, we see many more people that have said, oh, I've been really interested in this. I didn't realize it was this far along. I didn't realize it was available. I want to play with this. I want to do this. How can I help?
And finally, just talk a little bit about, you say it's practical, but it seems like it's going to start first with the enthusiasm and momentum from the academic community. So talk a bit about what's happening with the academic community, their response to Drupal, and then eventually what you see next for sort of man on the street. What are they going to see?
Okay. Well, I actually think so. By talking about it and evangelizing it, we're making academics aware that they don't have to spend a bazillion dollars on some Java-based system that's going to take them 4 weeks to set up. So they're getting that now, and then they're trying to figure out, wait a second, you're programming this really complex stuff in PHP, they say with disdain in their voice. So at the same time, there's real practical uses today, right, in that it does work. So you can do things like run three sites. It's kind of uninteresting and really is academic if you only run one site. But if you run three sites, you can pull data and do queries across these three sites today, which is before would have been a lot bigger challenge because you would have had to all suck it into one place. Then how do you distribute it? How do you display it? And all that stuff is available today. So that's the practical bit, is that if you have use cases for storing data across multiple sites and then being able to query and visualize data across those three sites, we have the RDF tools that can do that today. Man on the street will hit when we deploy it in Drupal 7 by default. A lot of people will have semantic websites without realizing it, in the same way they might not have realized that they had RSS in the past. And the large momentum of a larger amount of semantic data out there will encourage the growth of filters and search engines built around it. So those people who have these semantic web by default will sort of rank higher in SEO and get more traffic and get more traction in communication, which will just, again, do a pilot and encourage many more people and many more platforms to focus on implementing semantic standards.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks.